हरि ओ सहनावतु सहनभुनक्तु सह वीर्यंकरवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे.
Okay, so chapter 35, Neutral Love of God. So 3144, page 18. In the words of Bilba Mangal, though I was respected by the followers of Gyan and was worshipped by them on the throne of realizing the bliss of Brahman, forcibly I was made into a female servant, Dasi, by the crafty boyfriend of the cowherd women. Srila Prabhupada. Bilba Mangal Thakur in his book, Krishna Karyanamrita, says, let the impersonalist be engaged in the process of transcendental realization by worshipping the impersonal Brahman. Although I was initiated into that path of Brahman realization, I have now become misled by a naughty boy, one who is very cunning, who is very much attached to the gopis, and who has made me his maidservant. So I have now forgotten the process of Brahman realization. Srila Jiva Goswami. And so he's just showing that connection to Krishna is so much more than the Brahman realization. So that's why you see those in the Shanta Ras. It's so much greater. Even though externally it looks like the same, the lifestyle is the same, many of the kind of you say cultural or practical values are the same. But the difference is very different in that the connection to Krishna, then it makes it completely, you know, wonderful, while the impersonal Brahman is very dry. Srila Jiva Goswami. Advaita means jnana. Swananda Simhasana Labdha Diksha means he was worshipped, Diksha, on the throne of realizing the bliss of Atma, Swananda. As far as Diksha means worship. Okay. The condemnation of Krishna as a crafty boy is false condemnation, conveying the opposite meaning. Because in reality, the speaker now considers the worship, shaved head, and impersonal realization to be meaningless. Okay, this is, we're talking on which side of the... Because he had the two kinds of
Tapasvi and the other one.
Oh, okay. 3145. As in the case of Sukadev, impressions of jnana will slacken by the mercy of the Lord, and the person will attain the perfection of bliss in Bhakti Rasa. Srila Prabhupada. Bilba Mangal Thakur was first spiritually initiated for impersonal realization of the Absolute Truth. But later on, by his association with Krishna and Vrindavan, he became an experienced devotee. The same thing happened to Sukadev Goswami, who also reformed himself by the grace of the Lord and took to the path of devotional service, giving up the way of impersonal realization. Srila Jiva Goswami. A more ancient example, Sukadev, is given as proof. Elsewhere, Sukadev has indicated that the residents of Braja possess the highest prema, and has shown that even in that place, the supreme prema is Madhura Rasa. Footnote 10. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes in Jiva Dharma, Shanta Rasa may be also divided into Paroksha, indirect, and Sakshatkara, direct. Sukadev Goswami and Bilba Mangal Thakur had attained the Nirvishesha Brahman through jnana, but they rejected the resultant Brahmananda for the Bhakti Rasananda, immortal nectar of bhakti. The famous and most erudite Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, an associate of Sri Chaitanya, is another example. Yeah. So in here is that there's the point of the appreciation that is there, but it's going to be appreciation of Krishna. Because the appreciation of Brahman, then that gives a limited flavor. It means it's greater than what you'll get here in the material world from karma. But compared to Rasananda, it's Bhakti Rasananda, it's not going to have any comparison. And so then, whatever they're appreciating, that's not the actual basic position. Because here you can see it's both of these, then Sukadev and Bilba Mangal. They're appreciating the Bhakti Rasananda of the conjugal rasa of Krishna with the gopis. And so that's not a problem. You can, you know, so what anything to do with Krishna is appreciated. And then you'll see that some will have that attraction to a particular level, even, you know, up to the conjugal rasa. Because all those trees and the, like Sukadeva parrots and all the others, then they're all going to be appreciating that. So makes sense. Yes.
In the Priti Sandarbha, we're describing all the five primary rasas. Jiva Goswami gives always these two levels. One is called Siddha. One is at that stage where he is like about to get darshan of Krishna.
Okay.
And the other is called Ruda, which has already seen Krishna, and now how his experience is. And all the Sancharis, Vyabhicharis, all are different. Because one was at the level of Ruda is always more intense.
Okay.
Yeah. Here, like Sukadeva and Pilamangal Thakur are given example of that Ruda bhava.
Yes.
The Udipans, which are instrumental in rasa, can we consider them at some level to be Shantaras?
The Udipans themselves. Not necessarily, because you see Krishna himself and his associates, you know, or his interactions, these are also, but you'll see a lot of it will have that aspect. You know, like the flute or, yeah, you know, his clothes or this or that. But I haven't seen that it's defined so much in that way, because it may be anything connected with Krishna can be Udipan, you know, within the context of the particular attraction. So that attraction will have a particular field that it works from. So each rasa has its field. Now, because you're dealing with Kama, Krishna, there's a lot of common ground in those fields. That's why you'll see many times the descriptions, like when Krishna's coming back into Vrindavan, and then, you know, as mentioned, you know, then he interacts with Mother Jashoda like this, and the cowherd boys like that, and then, you know, the cows like this, and the gopis like that, and the different groups, and you know, so you see sometimes there's a few descriptions where he's in one situation dealing with everybody. Generally you see, you know, one situation he's dealing with one group of devotees, you know, one rasa, but there's at least, I think, two in the Nectar Devotion where it's explaining, you know, this multiple aspect, just so you know, because he, being rasa, he's able to deal in all that. He's able to relate and move at that pace. You know, we can see also in the incarnation of Prithu Maharaj, you know, after his appearance and all that, then when he walked into the city, then it's mentioning how he's interacting with each person according to their nature and the relationship with him. Just as he's walking, he's able to do, and that, you know, that look or that nod or the smile or the soberness or, you know, something that they all appreciate. So Krishna's able to deal with all them at once. So it's not as important to try to categorize those things into, though I'm sure you can, but the point is that that's what works in the field. And so what the field is, so someone in Shanta who is in opulence, that's going to be slightly different than those who is in sweetness, like that. And then, you know, within the sweetness, then which aspect of Braj are they going to be more involved in and all that. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. So there's going to be servants who are basically just interacting with the parental rasa. And then there's going to be ones that will be interacting, let's say, you know, have the parental rasa because of that closeness there between them. But they may be also, you know, with the cowherd boys. But then you see some of them, then they interact with the gopis. Like Danishta. You always hear about her in context of the pastimes with the gopis. But, you know, Rock Talk and them, it's more just Krishna and the Cowherd Boys and that kind of level. And these are the main ones that we know. I'm sure that there's so many there. Is that making sense?
Yeah. Also, I just wanted to know quickly, is Bilamangal Thakur a sadhana siddha?
Sadhana siddha.
He's a sadhana siddha.
I'm not sure, but in any case, he is being presented as if he is.
Yeah.
You know? But whether he is or not, that's another thing. Just like in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Lord Chaitanya is talking about Rupa Goswami and Raghunath Das. So they're nitya siddhas that have never been conditioned. And so, but you see that they go through a process of sadhana to set the example. So what is his position? I haven't come across. He's mentioned anything? Because sometimes a few devotees are mentioned what they are. Like Sanatana Goswami is the famous as sadhana siddha. You know, just because he does everything so perfectly and that. He sets the perfect example for the sadhana. Like that. And so then, I'm not sure. But in any case, his book is considered quite elevated. So even if he's in Shantaras, just like 10th Canto is very elevated, but it's being spoken by someone in Shantaras. So if Bilba Mangal is an example of that root of Shantaras, but also one that speaks about Krishna and all that, rather than just the Gyan aspect of Bhakti, then, you know, the traction seems to be about Krishna and his pastimes in Vrindavan, especially with the gopis. And so then that appreciation. So the taste can be very wide. It's just that he himself may or may not be taking part directly in those. You know, that they're observing and do whatever is their part, but it's not as, you know, as direct as, let's say, the gopis themselves. You know, the parents are there, they tell things, they talk, you know, they feed them, they do all kinds of things with them. But it's just, you know, yes? No?
Yeah.
Okay. 3:1:46-47. Because of the lack of an object of devotion in the state of shama, the experts in poetics do not consider shanta as a rasa. Footnote 11. Shama is defined in 3:5:16 as non-differentiated self from the object perceived. However, in 2:5:18, shanta rasa is defined as the realization of paramatma by a person who has shama. However, in our opinion, because we accept Shanta Rati for the Lord as the Stai Bhava, this objection cannot be made, since the Lord is the object of devotion. The Lord says, Shama is having the intelligence fixed in me. End quote. Without the attainment of Shanta Rati, fixing the intelligence of the Lord cannot take place. Right? Because you may have the yogis who may fix their intelligence in Krishna, but then at some point it will change. Because for us, we're looking at, oh, it's such a long time, so it must be good. But in the same way, we get fooled by liberation, we get fooled by the heavenly planets, their Amara, you know, because it's just longer than what we live. But when you're dealing with the, you know, those on the eternal platform, then anything that's not pure devotion, you know, it's not bhakti, then it's temporary. So they don't consider it as anything worthwhile. You know, because for them, one Brahma's lifetime is 3/4 of a second. You know what I'm saying? So that's why, yeah. Srila Prabhupada. Sukadeva Goswami and Bilba Mangal Thakur, who gave up the impersonal conception of the absolute truth to take to devotional service, are the best examples of devotees situated in the neutral state. According to some authorities, this condition cannot be accepted as one of the transcendental humors or rasas. But Srila Rupa Goswami says that even if one does not accept it as a transcendental humor, one must still accept it as the beginning position of devotional service. However, if one is not further raised to the platform of actual service to the Lord, it is not considered to be on the platform of transcendental mellow. In this connection, in the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Lord Krishna personally instructs Uddhava like this. Quote, the state of being established in my personal form is called Shanta Rasa. Without being situated in this position, no one can advance to actual pure devotional service. End quote. In other words, no one can be situated on the personal feature of the Supreme Personality of Godhead without being situated at least in Shanta Rasa. Okay, so that means one is going through that. There will be that point of appreciation. It's just, if you're going from A to Z, you're going to go through everything in between. Does that make sense? So it's not a problem saying, oh, Shanta Rasa, but we're not interested in Shanta Rasa, we don't deal with it and all that. No, it's just, the Shanta Rasa means you're situated on the transcendental platform with that attraction to Krishna. Then as the devotion develops, then that sense of possession, then one moves forward into whatever is one's natural position in Rasa. So, footnote 12. Shama was defined in 2.5.16 as non-differentiation of the self from the
next one.
That's 11. Yeah, I was thinking, we just read that. Okay. 12. This is confirmed by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Jayavadharma as follows. Vrajana, why is Shanta Ras not mentioned in Alankara, material rhetoric? Goswami, in mundane relationships, the prime subject of mundane authors, the state of Shanta neutralizes all diversity and variegatedness, hence it is overlooked. However, upon the plane of transcendence, Aprakrita Rasa progressively increases with the advent of Shanta Rasa. Sri Bhagavan has declared that the devotee's consciousness is called Shama, equipoised, if it is firmly fixed on him. The fact is that one's consciousness cannot be fixed upon the Lord without Shanta Rasa. Therefore, Shanta Rasa must be cultivated and accepted within the framework of a chit-tattva, spiritual culture. In other words, it's the platform. You know, it's just like you want to cook, you are in the kitchen. Right? You know, so just being in the kitchen, then someone's there in the kitchen, they can appreciate what's going on in the kitchen and the quality of everything that's in the kitchen and the expertise of those people in the kitchen and everything like that. But the point is the cook is already in the kitchen. So he's already in that position. He appreciates all the facility, paraphernalia, the ingredients, you know, the techniques. That's why he's able to cook. Right? So the situation, in other words, the spiritual platform is the same for all the devotees. The difference is what you do with that spiritual platform. So Shanta Rasa means they just appreciate that spiritual platform and what goes on that platform. While then other devotees, they move forward and take part within the activities on that platform. Does that make sense? That's more of a... doesn't mean that there's not some interaction, but it just means that it's where the focus is. You know what I'm saying? So we see is that in the Shanta, it's on the form. And then the others, then they'll be the qualities and pastimes. But the form means there's qualities and pastimes, but it just means that's the prominent aspect. So does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. Srila Jiva Goswami, let them oppose Shanta Rasa, but according to our opinion, it is not possible for them to oppose it. The reason is given. The condition of rasa was established on the basis of rati for the Lord. Rati as the cause is then described as its effect, described by its effect. Shama, which means fixing the intelligence in the Lord, tan nishta. When a person has attained samanya, rati, it matures into a superior form by mixing the intelligence on the Lord by abundance of that shama. Footnote 13. Samanya rati is the lowest form of shuddha rati. But this can mature into Shanta Rati, 2.5.9. The Rati manifested in ordinary people and children for Krishna is called Samanya Rati or ordinary Rati. It does not have the distinguishing qualities of even Swacha Rati or Shanta Rati. Right, so we see the Samanya, it can move forward. And then moving forward, it can go into the Swacha, which is very specific, it means the other highest four, or it can be turned into Shanta. So in other words, there's a general appreciation, and then it turns into an actually focused, tan-nishta focus. But it's still in Shanta. Or it can go into being the variety that's there in the other four rasas. Does that make sense? Because on the material platform, when they deal with rasa, then they don't consider the rasa because of its doesn't have Because of lack of possession, it doesn't have a specific, there's no action. You say object means the subject and object. And so then there's an action in between to connect the two. Right? So since it doesn't have an action because of there's no possession, then you can say nothing's really accomplished. So then, in their mind, where will be the taste? Where is it going on? If someone's just sitting over on the side and appreciating, then it doesn't add to the environment, really. You know? So they don't really consider it. But then Rupa Goswami is pointing out is no, because the focus is on Krishna, there is an object. But it may be that the element, the verbal aspect is just appreciation. There's not an action being done. So it's just the action within the mind. Does that make sense? So it's more subtle. Yes?
So in their mind, if it's not gross, or if it's not manifested,
yes,
it actually isn't there.
Yes.
But here we see, on a subtle level, the whole thing happens in meditation.
Yes.
But for materialists, they don't appreciate that.
No, because they need to take it further. Well, with Krishna, you have this appreciation, that's there, he interacts with them, and then all the others are there. But like us, so many people, let's say, you know, just like to say, take an example, because we're talking about the material platform. Then let's say you have a celebrity, and then you have so many people who appreciate.
Yes.
You know, and so when they, you know, come out of the place to go to their car, get out of their car to go to a place, they're all there yelling and screaming and all this kind of things like that. But you see, many times is that, you know, unless they have a little bit of character, they really don't care about all these people. They want them to be there because, it, you know, it sells tickets, the money is made and all that. But otherwise, having interaction with them individually, personally, they don't really care. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Nowadays, people are trying to be a little more nice and trying to be a little more interactive. But, you know, so what we see is that it's not an uncommon thing that you won't consider it. You know, it's just like, let's say you have the scene on the stage and, you know, there's so many people, you know, it's a crowd kind of scene. And so the main interaction between the main characters and their interactions, what you're watching, and the others may be around and watch and stop and, you know, make some faces or do something, and it adds to the flavor, but it's actually the flavor of the main.
Mm-hmm.
So then that way they don't consider it to be rasa. But in the spiritual world, the point is that you're not going to have the relationship on its own without environment. You know, because like the Hindus, they can have Radha Krishna in the cloud and they're cool. But the devotees, no, they're going to be in the dham, in the pastimes with the devotees and all that. So that's going to mean a huge amount of shanta devotees. They set the atmosphere, they set the mood. You know, because you can say as yes, it's just the interaction which is important. Yes, but when you have the mood, you know, it's just like you and a friend could, you know, sit anywhere and eat something and it's nice. You know, like on the train or this or that. Like, but if you're sitting in a nice place, it makes it even better. If I'm sitting on the train and eating, you're just eating. If I'm sitting out in the park or a nice natural place, then it's a picnic. You know, if I'm sitting in a restaurant, then it has that atmosphere. Does that make sense? So it all adds to it. Yeah. Yes.
It seems that for Dasya and even Sakya, this scenario will work. But for Madhurja and Vatsalya, it worked when they attached to the particular place. They function in their own environment. Otherwise, it's really difficult.
Means the mood will be there, but manifestation of it's not. That's why then you need more stuff. That's why it's more developed, more complicated. The cowherd boys can, you know, do anything anywhere, the servants anywhere.
Yeah.
But yes, the parental ras needs some facilities. The conjugal ras needs something. But it's not that it can't be exchanged. So it's just like even Krishna's there, you know, having his breakfast and all that, and you know, Mother Jashoda, Rohini are overseeing the arrangements, and Nanda Baba and his brothers are there. Krishna Balaram are there. Madhu Mangal, a few other the cowherd boys are eating, and that, and then the gopis are serving and all these things like that. And, you know, other gopis are also there from, you know, all these different groups. And so, but it's not that there can't be some element of exchange. Like, you know, that famous one where Krishna's given that, you know, particular sweet, and then he goes to taste it, makes a face like it's terrible, and then feeds another devotee with it. You know, just puts it into his mouth, not even put it on the plate anymore. It's this Krishna's right, he just puts it into his mouth. And so when he makes the face, then, you know, Mother Jashoda Rohini will be, you know, alarmed that, you know, okay, it wasn't properly cooked, you know, so these girls may be inexperienced because they're young, you know, they're going to be. And at the same time as the rival gopis, then they're in ecstasy, like, you know, that you know, Radharani's group's blown it, right, you know, like that. And that. But then when the other devotee, he goes into ecstasy on how wonderful it is, like that, then, you know, everybody's happy, and then it's known how good it is. It's just that, you know, because if he takes it, no one knows. But this, now they know. You know what I'm saying? So in other words, in that environment, he's still interacting in the conjugal aspect, but it has to be very reduced. So that's the thing. It has the widest range from the most constricted to the most. Like for Shantaras, where's ever a restriction? There's no restriction. At any time, any place, circumstance, you can be absorbed in your rasa, and no one's going to say, you know, get a room. you know, so saying, so in that way, it's the least. So we see the conjugal is the most restrictive, and that which brings out the most flavor. So that's why you see nowadays, as they reduce the restriction on conjugal rasa, the taste in it's going down and nothing much is happening. You know, so there's more freedoms, but there's less taste. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
You know, before just a look had some meaning. Now a look doesn't mean anything.
Yeah. I have a friend, one lady, she complained to MCS office that he looks at ladies too boldly. It's actually, she wrote a letter. As if he looks. It was her, like, perception.
Perception. Well, you have to see if you always, maybe he always walks around like that or something.
The difficulty was, is that he was like super handsome guy, and she wasn't. So we were not sure, you
know. Yeah, so that's how, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, so then in this case, like a, yeah, but you don't, you have those, what do you call it? I don't know if it's still now, but before they had these, it was very popular, I'm not sure when it was, 70s, 80s, or like that. They'd have these sunglasses for the beach that are wrap around, completely go all the way around, so that no one can tell where you're looking. You know, so you could be looking at someone, you know, you're looking here, but you're looking at them, but they can't tell because you can't see. Yeah. Yeah, so that's why there's the most taste, because of the more restrictions. So it needs particular very things and all that. And you see, even if the environment is perfect and it's there, just the feminine nature still restricts it. You know, it's like, you know, they can't, they want to be with Krishna out in the forest where no one is so that they can interact. Then, when Krishna comes out in the forest and leaves the cowherd boys and goes to be with them, then as soon as she shows up, it's kind of like, what is he doing here? You know? So that's the whole thing. It's all about the maximum restriction is there. So that's why this element of that there's obstacles. Why are there obstacles? Because the obstacles create more taste. That's just the way it works. You know, because we want what we want with no obstacles. And at the same time, it's the obstacles that produce the flavor. You know, it's just like, let us say, if in your house, you know, then you had, you know, just take for, just as a premise that certain, you know, I mean, of all the, let's say, most outstanding preparations that there are in cooking in the world, right? you know, there'll be a certain list of, you know, a long list, but of excellent preparations that, you know, people will talk about and all that kind of stuff. And so then of that, then there's going to be either regions where it's the best, and within that, then there's going to be, you know, some place, someone who makes the best in the world of that. Okay?
Yeah.
Okay. So now, let us say, sitting in your house, you have, you know, in a, you know, some arrangement, whatever it is, some person or something like that, that any of those things are the best in the world that you want. It's either just you just decide you want it and either push a button or just tell the guy, and just he just brings it out. For the first few weeks it'll be fabulous, but after a while, you know, because it's so easy, you want to be able to attain it. That's why it's so special, that you want to eat this prep, you know, the best, like that. You got to go to Morocco, or you have to go to Paris, or you have to go this place or that, or even if you're in the city, you have to go to, you know, it's just like New York. There's so many pizzerias, but the one that one is, you know, the other side of town. So you can't get there very often, but when you do, then it's the best. You know what I'm saying? So the obstacle makes it more desirable. You know, just like for women, what they don't have or can't get, or what's difficult to get, or best impossible to get, attaining that gives the best taste. No?
Yeah.
Yeah? So that's the whole thing, is that that's then you see is the whole aspect, is that Krishna is Atmarama, he is everything, so what's to obtain? He is everything, so there's nothing to obtain. So as Atmarama, it's a nice situation, you know, it's transcendental, it has its taste. But then when you expand these rasas that therefore, because of possession, create these conditions for interaction, then it gives more taste. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So the basis is Shanta, as we said here. It's the foundation of, and then every other rasa is built on that. So that has to be there. So? Then, 3.1.48, pure Shanta according to Vishnu Dharmotra. The condition in which there is no happiness, no suffering, no hatred, no envy, and equality shown to all beings is known as Shanta Rasa. So no happiness means there's no material happiness. So they don't gain happiness from something, they don't suffer from anything, they don't have any hatred, the envy, you know, because envy is you want something, hatred is the person that gets in the way of your obtaining. And they see everyone, that's Shanta Rasa, Srila Jiva Goswami. To defeat all objections of opponents concerning the rasa called Kevala Shanti, the author establishes his own view by quoting from Vishnu Dharmotra Purana to give further support. Right? So we see is that it is a standard. The rasiks and that material, you know, literaries, then they may not appreciate it. But the point is they don't appreciate it, so they don't think it exists. But the point is that, and what you appreciate, then that's important. So right there, it establishes itself the importance of appreciation. You know? So the thing is people don't necessarily see certain things. They just do things naturally. And so it's important to them that they value, that they notice. They don't see the background to it. So only those things they appreciate, then they make an endeavor for. So without Shanta, you don't have any other relationship. If you don't appreciate something, you don't have a relationship. That's why you see sometimes in relationships, at that point that you don't appreciate the other person, the relationship is not functioning. You know, but as soon as you bring back the appreciation, then immediately it's there. You know, so so many cliches of that. You know, someone's there, two people there were together, and then now they don't like each other and that, and then someone says, oh, but, you know, what about this, or what about that, and then they remember before, and the times, and this, and yeah, this, and that, and then it reawakens the relationship. You know, so it's a very standard trope that's used. Because the point is if Shanta's not there, it's the foundation, you know. You know, if you don't have the kitchen, how do you cook? The kitchen's not cooking, but the kitchen is required for cooking. So appreciation is there, then that mood of service. Then there's that closeness is there. Right? Then closeness, then that protectiveness like that, then that intimacy like this, then it develops on that. Otherwise it doesn't. Yes? No? Very good. Yes. 3149. When those involved in dharma, charity, and compassion, besides the tapasvis, become completely devoid of being the doer, they become qualified for entering into Shanta Rasa. So we see here that aspect of Nishkam Karma Yoga. It's a very, means the impersonalists will say just by doing that you'll get liberated. They say if you perform your duties without attachment, you'll get liberated. You know, so that's why there's not really a problem with them for people performing the karma activities or bhakti or all that, because they say if you do it without attachment, that will bring you to the liberated platform. Right? And so then, because the tapasvis were the previous group, we're talking about the group that's being engaged in dharma, charity, compassion, their duties, their occupations, and all that. So then, if you do that without, but what he says, completely devoid. So the Nishkam Karma Yoga is complete. That then will bring you the qualification, because then you can function on the liberated platform. Now, if you add Krishna, that will bring you to Shanta Rasa. So we see is that that is our method. So this whole thing, you know, what do I get out of it, or what this and that, and all these things. These are useless for getting you to the spiritual realm. You know, they create upadis. They create, all they do is create. I'm the controller and enjoyer, and I'm the friend. And, you know, that's why we came here in the first place. So, in other words, the gross body, okay, that's the senses, you can't get into that. And the subtle body, okay, you get too mental or this or that. But the karna sharir, then we can cultivate that and look like that we're detached from the material world. You know, we're spiritual. But the point is, the karna sharir was goddess here. So that's why the Naishkarmya is important. Narad Muni, he preaches Naishkarmya and Pancharatra. So Naish, because Krishna in the Gita has said, the best option, just surrender unto me. Right? Then if you can't do that, then follow the rules and regulations of sadhana bhakti. Right? If you can't do that, then you follow the duties in a detached way that are given in the, you know, the Vedic Varnashram system. And if you can't do that, then follow in an attached way. Because if you follow in an attached, you're following the rules, with time you'll get purified, because karma will give knowledge and detachment. You'll come to Nishkam. Right? And then from that, you can engage in the worship of the Lord, and then from that come to the Bhagavad platform. Anyone knows what shloka that is, Gita?
12th chapter.
It's 12.
Yeah, it's a scripture principle.
Okay. So then we can see is that nice karma is very, so therefore we're not, if we're still here, we're not the ones that took the first option. Right? So therefore the next best option is the Pancharatra, the regulation of devotional service, that is, you know, that's the Pancharatra. So then, and nice karma. So he preaches nice karma and Pancharatra, which then are the two positions on which you situate yourself. You perform all your duties, connect without attachment, all done for the Lord, and that will give you, that will bring you to the liberated platform and will take you through into pure devotion. So it's the most effective. So you see, it's as a preacher, then he's going to choose the most effective system. So that's why we see he uses these two. So it's very important. So when we come up with our own social systems, you know, in other words, we're using a non-Vedic social system and we're using attachment. So it's just the opposite of what is going to, you know, in other words, the path, there's one path to Krishna. So we shouldn't be philosophically going towards Krishna and then religiously going away from Krishna. Mm-hmm. It's going to create a problem, you know, because otherwise at some point, depending on how much stretch is there, it's going to snap. You know, and then which, you know, yeah. and so then it'll be a problem. So these kind of modern approaches and all that won't be beneficial. That is that you're connecting to Krishna, that it's good. You'll be purified and move forward, but it won't be dynamic. It's confusing. You won't know actually what's your position. Srila Jiva Goswami. Dharma Vira Daya means those involved in Dharma, charity, and compassionate work. 3150. The previous scholars have described many types of Shantarasa, saying that Vritti, steadiness, or Nirveda, self-disgust, can also be the Stai Bhavas of Shantarasa. You know, so he could be steady, like that. 3151. If Nirveda, self-disgust, arise from knowledge of the Absolute Truth, then it can be called a Stai Bhava directly to the Lord, directly towards the Lord. Because you just see is that your entanglement in the material world, how you're being distracted like that, and how unimportant that is, and so then you feel very, self-disgusted about that and why you're not absorbed in Krishna. So you have that. Is that, in the prayers? Then you have Vigyapti, Prarthana,
Danyabodhika.
So this will be that aspect. So it's naturally part of. So as we see, is the Shanta aspect, it will be part of these higher elements. But if it arises from deprivation of dear items or attainment of detested items, it is called a Vyabhichari Bhava. So then, if you get something, it's not the main one. So it's knowledge of the Absolute, then that connection, then it can be considered a Stai Bhava within Shanta. Right? Steadiness automatically, I mean, it's very clear. They're just steady in everything and like that. Yes.
Doesn't mean that the secondary rasa can be Stai for Shanta Bhaktas? Is that what it means?
I don't know, because it only mentions these two, steadiness and self-disgust. Because those were qualities that they had. That they were the Vyavacharis for them. But it's not just probably any of them. It's very specific. Because I think, yeah. Because each rasa then will have its very specific elements that will be the Vibhava and the Vyabhichari Bhavas, all these different things, what they get. Like you see is with this rasa, they may get stunned, but they'll never fall on the ground. They'll never go unconscious because the intensity is not great enough for that. It's enough because of contact with Krishna, absorbed in Krishna, it's enough to produce stunning, but it's not enough to produce unconsciousness because the other one is so attached and that point of loss and all that, that can be so much that they'll go unconscious. But with the Shanta Rasa, they won't go that. They won't take them that far. Now we have to understand, so we're within unlimited, then we're talking about, this portion of it. Well, then the highest then is of all the places is Braj, if that's in the conjugal Rasa there, of that, then the gopis that are with Radharani, and then of that Radharani herself. So that then shows the actual, how the whole intensity goes. So then the focus and intensity of Krishna then that component that's just perfectly matched. It just goes with it.
Symmetric
or something. In other words, Radharani as he is in being the energetic, the complete conscious of everything, that full intensity and focus, that she is the same position in energy.
Reflection.
Yeah. So therefore she only can fully satisfy Krishna. But now then the amazing thing is in that fullness of satisfaction, then it becomes increased by adding all these other elements to it. Because if, like before, it was just about if the environment didn't add something to the rasa, then what's the need of us? What's the need of, where would we come in? Because Radharani is the devotee, so then you enhance that with then the dham and then all the other relationships and all the other interactions, and it just makes it even more. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. End of the first wave in the western section entitled Shanta Bhakti Rasa. Okay, now we come to the second wave. Second wave of the Western section called Priti Bhakti Rasa. Outline of Priti Rasa. Okay, so it looks like the rest of this book is on Priti Rasa. No? Or do we go into others?
I think so.
Oh no, we have sons. No, so sons and other subordinates.
Sons also in the Tisva.
No, they're also in here. I think it's all this. So, as we see. Okay, so the outline of how it takes 2 pages. So this is just, before we get into it, then we see is that... Okay, then outline of Priti Ras. One, you have the definition he'll give. Then he'll give you the types. Is there anything else? No, so there's only those two. So the types you'll have. The overall, you have Sambrahma Priti. And then you're going to have Gaurav Priti. Right? Then within Sambrahma Priti, then you'll have its Alambana. Where's two in this? There's no two. Okay, what's there? Lamba, Alambana, the Vishaya Ashraya, then the Udipans, the Anubhava, Sapika, all these should have come out.
Hmm.
Yeah, this where it says C, D, E, F, G, these should have been 2, 3, 4, 5. And on the Alambana is A and B.
Hmm.
But the others should have been out. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So then you have the Vishaya is the Lord outside Gokula, within Gokula, right? Because you're going to have two flavors there. Then Ashraya, his servants, then the Adikrita, the Devatas. Ashrita, then that has three divisions. Sharanya, surrendered souls. Jnanachari, previous Jnanis. And Sevanishta, fixed in service attitude. Then you're going to have the Parishat, Lord's retinue in Dwarka, ideal is Uddhava. Then forms of his parishads and his bhakti, and then Anuga dasas, Lord's attendants. In Dwarka, their form service, and Braja, ideal is Raktaka, his form and service. Then types of parishads and Anuga dasas. Durya serves the Lord and his devotees, Dira serves the Lord's consort, and Vira serves only the Lord. So you get three different kinds of who they serve. So one is Lord and devotees, only the Lord, and then only the consort. Right? Then from there, that's when you get. So, Dira. Status in all varieties. Then Nitya Siddha, Sadhana Siddha, and Sadhaka on the Bhava level. You know, and so Sadhaka on the Bhava level, you get 2 by Sadhaka in Sadhana Bhakti level. So by us practicing, we'll get to the Bhava level, and then from there you can move forward. Then we have that was Alambana, so then in the Udipans, then he'll give descriptions there. Then in Anubhavas, there'll be unique to Dasya and common with other rasas, because there'll be some things that specifically they bring out, like you have the 33 and all the others, but you notice that sometimes what's unique, then it's a list that's not specifically mentioned in the main ones. But they'll, of course, be derivatives of those, but it's this particular aspect, and then the others don't taste that particular one. They don't experience that. Does that make sense? Because we saw before is that the 33 Vyavichari Bhavas, then it was described that one may say, well, what about all these different qualities that we see going on in the pastimes and flavors and all that? And then he pointed out how they were subsets of something else. Right, so naturally, if you have that, you have the others. It's just a matter of which one's prominent at the time. So they're all the group. So what's mentioned is the 33 would be the leader of that group, and each one may have so many sub things. So now within those sub aspects, then there'll be what's unique to that particular rasa that others might not have, and then there'll be the common ones. Which, yes, no, doesn't make sense.
Yes, it does. I'm just thinking is that as followers of Lord Chaitanya, specifically those who are potentially following Madhurja, we develop parallel 3 kinds of relationship. Main with Krishna is in Madhurja, then with Radhika as Dasya, or Mahaprabhu same as Dasya because he's in the mood of Radhika, And then with devotees, friendship.
Mm-hmm.
So it becomes...
He says, all there, but then it's just a matter of the main of this, where is your position? Because you'll see within, the conjugal rasa, there are going to be those who are more towards Krishna, like you see his cousin,
Kuntalata.
So when it comes down, you know, how you say push comes to shove between Krishna and the gopis, she'll be fighting on Krishna's side.
Yeah.
And trying to get the gopis to, you know,
how you say,
surrender, like that. And then there's going to be, then you're going to have those who deal with both, and then those who are specifically. So there's the main position. It doesn't mean you don't interact with everybody else.
Yeah.
You know, so we can see is that the Dira takes on a more meaningful position.
Yes.
Because we just take it, Shanta, you're just peaceful, you're just like, yeah. Because otherwise, how do you do that? How are you going to beat Dira unless, it's like that? Just like, Sattvika bhavas, all. Okay? So all of them are manifest. Vyavachari bhavas, 24 of the 33 is manifest. But that, it doesn't mean that within those, like we said, within those 24, the subsets of those, it doesn't mean that they're not there. The sthayi bhava, sambrahma priti, progressing to prema and adikritas and ashritas. Okay, adikritas were the devatas, and ashritas were the surrender souls, shranya, jnani, charis, previous jnanis, and sevanishtas. Then it goes to prema. Then sneha and parishads. So parishads are the Lord's retinue. Ideal is Uddhava. And then raga in some parishads. And all the anugas. They may get to rag. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So it means that within the sthayi bhava, how far it will progress within. So in other words, the sthayi bhava is there in the sambrahma priti. It's in priti, so the servitor. But how far it will move forward means, in other words, so we see here is they get up to prema. The first group. But the next group, then it goes up to sneha, which is the next one. And then after that, then you have raga, so some will get up to there. So of the eight stages of prema, then you'll see how far the particular rasa, or the subsection within that rasa can take you. It's just that's their nature, so that's what they're experiencing. So as again, we were saying, it's the tasting of the different degrees of perfection. It's not that it's any less. That's why you have the thing is there's no less in devotees because they're all seen equally by the Lord. But there's differences in the intensity of the relationship, therefore the particular depth of taste. Yeah. Then ayoga, separation. So then there's udkantiya, ukantita, longing before ever meeting. And then the vyavichari bhavas that are there. And viyoga, longing separation after meeting. Then the anubhavas and vyavichari bhavas. Then yoga and meeting. Then siddhi, first meeting. Tushti, meeting after separation. Sthiti, eternal association. Anubhavas in Krishna's presence. So there's always going to be that aspect of never meeting. And so in other words, when one's attraction for Krishna has come to that complete point, in other words, samadhi, then that brings to the point where meeting, and then there'll be the separation of that. That'll bring it more forward till it comes to the intensity where then we can be an eternal associate and always be with the Lord. Because the Lord, he's at that full focus and intensity. Right? So when we come to that same quality, then it matches. Like the drop of ocean water, matches the composition of the ocean itself. Right? So therefore the two can mix very nicely. It's just like, let's say I take a drop of ocean water and put it in the ocean, it's now become part of the ocean. If I take something that's not the same nature as the ocean and drop it in the ocean, you'll say there's something in the ocean. Then you make the distinction. So So one has to come to that point where then, as the Lord is always absorbed in these pastimes, you can be absorbed in these pastimes. Yeah. Starting your tone.
No. This is why
I'm doing a lot of thinking. I could ask like tons of questions, but it's listening time, not questions.
I see, okay.
It's the same thing that, as you speak, it's just something that keeps going in my head, and I'm listening to him, and I want to add to it. And, you know.
Okay, no problem.
That's why the advertisement of pure mineral water, it's a rasa bas in itself. If it's pure, then where are the minerals coming?
So in other words, if we go by that pure mineral water, then I think it's, what is it? Bisleri is the perfection of mineral water, right? Because they take Calcutta water and then run it through reverse osmosis. You don't get better than that, because that's as pure as you're going to get. Not one mineral in the water. So it's like completely pure. Then Gaura Priti Rasa. So you have the definition. Yeah, see here it's done the numbering properly. On this page, somehow or another, you continued with the A, B, C, and like that. So you should mention that. So that C, D, E, F, G, H, I then shift out in line with the Alambana.
Yes, I did it.
Okay. Then Alambana, Vishaya, the Lord, the qualities, Ashraya, sons and younger brothers and sisters, Prajumna, form their bhakti. Okay. Ashraya, younger sons and Prajumna. Udipans, the Anubhavas, unique and then common with the Sambrahma Rasa, Dasa. Then the Sattvika Bhavas, all of them are there. Vyabhichari, same for the Sambrahma Priti, so the same 24. Stai Bhava, Gaura Priti, progressing to Prema, Sneha, and Raga. So it seems that Raga is the highest you can get in the Dasi Ras. It won't go up above that. Ayoga, the Utkantita and the Viyoga. So the Utkantita will be in particular, it means longing before meeting. And then the Viyoga means longing in separation after meeting. Then Yoga, probably good to just mention that there.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's, otherwise you have to look back. You know, unless someone's got a photographic memory, then still they have to look. Yoga, then Siddhi, Tushti, and Sthiti. You know, first meeting me like that. And just, I would still put those little definitions.
Okay.
Okay, does that make sense?
Yeah.
So now, then, 3, 2, 1. So it's out. Sridhar Swami, in talking about rasa, has clearly glorified this as the highest rasa, calling it saprema bhakti, bhakti filled with prema. 3.2.2. The writer of Nama Kaumudi, Lakshmitara, has called this rasa a stai bhava, and Sudeva and other authorities on literature, literary ornament, have called it a form of shanta. Right? So you see, because there is that aspect where it's an extension, you could say. Either shanta is not a full development of it, or it's an extension of shanta. Does that make sense? It means the dasya. It means it has that element of appreciation, and it has that, which is very prominent, and then it has that element of service to it. And so it's kind of like an extension of that, as we said before, is that the you could say the main rasas in which all the pastimes are functioning are around the friendship, parental, and conjugal.
Mm-hmm.
So these other two, the shanta and the dasya, are serving them, assisting them. Right? But we can see from it, it's a much deeper, much greater position. So if you divide it, then you'll have in the lower, the beginning, or the supporting levels, then shanta won't be as intense as dasya. Then on the other ones that are the you can say your positions of interaction of the basis of the pastime, then you're going to have the three divisions of friendship, parental, and conjugal. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So it's always going to have. So they, in other words, there's the environment, which is just the inherent environment. Then there's the service within the dynamic service within that environment. Then there's going to be the pastime. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So in other words, the house, Mother Jashoda's house is there and all the paraphernalia is there, but then there's servants that deal with that house and paraphernalia. Then you can say, now that support is complete. Then within that, the parental ras takes place. Right? And then there'll be the other friendship and conjugal will be around there, but it'll be the prominent. Does that make sense? Yeah. So you have the environment, just like you have the Vrindavan forest as the place. Then you have, Vrindadeva will be there with her assistance, and then it makes it work. Does that make sense? You know, so you always have, you have this element within that. Or the rasa itself is then you're performing those, like you're saying, the maid servants, they have that servant rasa, the Radharani. So they're the servants within that environment, the conjugal aspect. Even though the rasa of Krishna may be conjugal, but they're the ones that are creating the environment. And then Radha and Krishna and the gopis can interact. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
But because of that dhira aspect, then one's going to be tasting what is being tasted by those who are interacting. So we see is also that there the servants are there, so Mother Jashoda interacting with Krishna, the flavors she tastes, they'll also taste, but only up to that level. You know, depending upon where they are, then it will go up to, for, you know, prema, sneha, or raga. You know, so it depends on who they're serving, what environment, and everything like that. So those will be there. Does that make sense? You know, same way as that. One can, yeah. Does that make sense?
Yes.
You can take it through. To 323. When priti or adoration achieves a pleasurable nature, see, it's adoration. So it's adoration here is that it's appreciation that's dynamic. You're going to do something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Achieves a pleasurable nature by vibhavas, anubhavas, sattvika bhavas, and vyabhichari bhavas in the hearts of the devotees. It's called priti bhakti rasa. Right? So there's going to be that attraction. And so then when it takes all these working together, then you get. When the recipient of mercy acts as a servant, it is called samprama priti, and the recipient identifies himself as the object of parental affection. Identifying himself, or those or whatever. As the object of parental affection is called Gaura Priti. Right? So in other words, some Brahma Priti is what we generally think of as the servants of the Lord. But Gaura Priti means those who their object of parental affection. Right? So they're. Yeah?
So it's Dasya with the touch of Vatsalya?
It seems to be, but they are Krishna's. Yes.
It is they are acting as sons to Krishna, not as fathers.
Right.
So it's that tendency.
Yeah, it means that it seems to be that it's there, but they have that intimacy that they're like sons.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't seem to have the same flavor as when Krishna was Mother Yashoda.
It is with Krishna's sons. They are like, they are acting as the one who is cared by Krishna.
Yes.
But then, as parents, then they care for Krishna, so it goes to a different rasa together.
Okay. No, but I'm just saying Krishna's taste, he's tasting the parental rasa. So there'll be dasya within that, and then there'll be some flavor of that. So then it can go up to a particular level.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Srila Prabhupada, the transcendental mellow of affection has been accepted by authorities like Sridhar Swami as a perfectional stage of devotion. Right, because up to this, it seems that the Shanta Ras, it's appreciated, and it's, you know, it seems being argued that it is rasa, but it's not taken that this is, you could say, your best position, the most perfect position. But it's that when you come to this, then it gets to that. It takes on that aspect. Yes.
So Bharat Muni, he doesn't accept the Shanta as
I'm not
rasa.
Sure if Bharat Muni does, because he didn't mention him. He's saying some writers. Because Bharat Muni's written, but then others have written books on that.
Hmm.
Mandan poets, they only categorize only Madhurya as like Sringar Ras. All the other seven rasas which they are, two is all the secondary rasas.
Hmm.
Among the five primary, they use only Madhurya's Sringar.
There's generally, it's that Rupa Goswami mentions, I think, in Natika Chandrika, that your that if you want a drama to be successful, you need one of two, if not both, elements, that of virya, of that, you know, the chivalry, and then that of conjugal. And if you can put both together, then it becomes even better. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
You know, it's like, yeah. So it's always, yeah, you always see that aspect. It is just about the humor of neutrality and is a requisite for the development of the suvereign humor. In literature such as Namakaumudi, the state of existence is accepted as continuous affection for or attraction to Krishna. Authorities like Sukadeva consider the stage of affection to be in the neutral stage. But in any case, this affection is relished by the devotees in different transcendental tastes. And therefore, the general name for the status is affection or pure affection for Krishna. You know, so it's just like, let's say you have Anamoy and Pranamoy. Pranamoy is basically an extension of Anamoy. So in other words, there's Anamoy for yourself. Pranamoy is Anamoy for, you're worried about the Anamoy of everybody or your group. So it's just an extension of the one. Then you see, is then it turns into the theistic and all those things. Then the higher ones have their direct. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So your karma, jnanis, and bhaktas, that's what you deal with. The Anamoya and Pranamoy wallas, they're just the background for these three. Yes?
Can we say that in this sense, that it means that jnanis, we talked about jnanis and shanta bhaktas. So jnanis can also be categorized as servants, if they start serving the Lord?
It can, but the rasa they'll be tasting means everybody's a servant, devotee of the Lord, but the taste of their rasa is through that appreciation, or here then it's through what is it called?
Adoration.
Right? Because you adore somebody, you do something, you appreciate, then you just, yeah, that's nice. Yeah.
That's why when the eight stages are described, starting with prati, prema, and all, then they are together called as priti. I mean, the general word for all of the eight stages of priti they are called.
Oh, okay.
Because it starts with affection or adoration for the Lord.
Okay.
Not before.
Okay. So then from there it goes on. So that's why then they'll say it's the highest rasa, because there, because that adoration, therefore they go. It's just like in Varnashram, we said the Grihastashram is the best, because from that, then you get everything else, right? From the Grihastas, you get Brahmacharyas, the Grihastas, the self turns into Vanaprasas, that turns into Sannyas, like that. They're the ones, they are the stomach and the whole body, and so then they produce everything by which everybody else is then maintained. So we see is that the central point is there. Does that make sense? So you can have something being the best, but something else still has, there's still the hierarchy. So it can still be the best, the highest rasa, but at the still time there's a hierarchy there, because that service, everyone is doing service. So that's the thing that's been introduced here, is that some service is being rendered. Three, two, five. Those who identify themselves as servants of Krishna have sambrahma priti for Krishna. When this sambrahma priti is nourished by vibhava and other elements, it is called sambrahma priti rasa. 3.26. In sambrahma priti rasa, the alambanas are the Lord, Vishaya, and his servants, Ashraya. 3.27. The two-armed form of Krishna is the alambana for the inhabitants of Gokula. And the two-armed or four-armed form of Krishna is the alambana for the devotees of Krishna residing elsewhere. Right, so the two-armed is just for Gokula. But then for those who reside elsewhere, it's the two or four-armed. But it still has that element of opulence. Mm-hmm. So that's why, you know, they don't, like you see when Krishna and Balaram, when they first come into Mathura, they're coming in with four arms.
Yeah.
And everybody's seeing in that way and all that, the Supreme Lord is all that. Then you see when he gets to the,
Kuvalaya Pita.
Kuvalaya Pita. then he only has two arms. So it's just when he walks in and everyone's seeing and appreciating and all the different things that he has for. So, you know, they both match. Like sometimes you see in South, there'll be, I think, I've seen deities of Krishna where he has four arms, you know, conch and disc and two. The other two are playing a flute. Yeah. You know, and he's in Dodi and all that. So it's like, you know, somehow or another that aspect of his Vrindavan pastimes from the perspective of Dwarka.
Yes. In Dwarka, they have those deities also.
Oh, okay, yeah.
In the West.
Okay, yeah, that's fine. Like that, yeah. Because I think there's a deity like that when he's with Rukmini.
Mm-hmm.
Like that. Yes. So. So, you know, they kind of see the connection, but they don't. It's not as clear as those from Braj.
Rukmini, Radha, and Krishna, and Sri Ranga. So, Prabhupada.
Rukmini, Radha, and
Krishna, all in one actor. So then Harishoy Guru asked, isn't this Rasabhas? Prabhupada, it's not Rasabhas. Why? You know, Krishna will not get embarrassed just because he's with Rukmini or Radha. But they should not have done like that, Prabhupada said.
So you have that aspect. Yeah, because the two forms, they won't go together. Because even if they're there, he could be standing there, but they won't see each other.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like you have Nanda Baba in the apricot doesn't see Nanda Baba in the prakat. They can't see each other. And so, yes.
Can we say that this particular point is because Shantabhaktas, they don't really distinguish that much?
Can be. They don't distinguish because they're looking at it. They're looking at it that the Supreme Lord is there and he's God and all these things, and then he has this other aspect of that. So they're appreciating maybe the Vrindavan aspect, but their main worship will be Krishna and Rukmini. But, you know, then there'll be that aspect, you know. So, yeah, it'll have that more of that Shanta aspect to it. But, you know, you just don't need to do that. Yes.
This court case still going on. Because of those two variations, Vadagala and Tengala. One says she is like Lakshmi Devi is Jiva, and another says she is not.
Still fighting with the other in court.
Yes, court case is still going on.
And what do they accept? What do they expect to accomplish?
How can judge say anything? Because he is not. He can deal with legal things, but these philosophical things, it's like our case.
And so they want to get rid of the other group by this legal case.
It's just going on in the court just to satisfy both their egos.
Okay, why not?
So governments get in benefit.
Yeah.
It's an eternal court case.
Yeah. Yes?
No, I'm just wondering who is the prosecutor and who are the lawyers?
Well, probably be checked, and the lawyers are also from that particular group.
Most probably.
Okay, that's 3-7, 3-8 in Braja. The form of Krishna with the complexion of a new rain cloud, holding a flute to his mouth with his two hands, wearing a yellow cloth, which defeats splendid, resplendent gold, with a peacock feather crown on his head, wanders about the bank of Jamuna near Govardhan, and gives bliss to the inhabitants of Swarga, Loka, and to ourselves, his servants on this earth. 3-9, two-armed form outside of Goloka. Krishna, dark complexion like a rain cloud, wearing yellow cloth, holding in his two hands the chakra and conch, emits a radiance like a rain cloud flashing lightning and ornamented with the sun and moon. So you see there's still that specialness that's there, but it takes on the more formal elements like that. Because the other one is just the beauty that's there and, you know, wander on the bank. The other one is, you know, as the beauty is there, but then the conch and the disc, and then it's like the lightning and the ornament like the sun and moon. And, you know, it takes on all the auspicious things, then you're inspired. Srila Prabhupada. Devotees engaged in servitude are attached to Krishna in the affection of reverence. Some of the inhabitants of Gokula, Vrindavan, as exhibited on earth, are attached to Krishna on this platform of affection and reverence. The inhabitants of Vrindavan used to say, quote, Krishna is always manifest before us with a complexion like a blackish cloud. He holds his wonderful flute in his lotus hands. He is dressed in yellow silks and bedecked with a peacock feather on his head. When Krishna walks near Govardhan Hill with these personal features, all the inhabitants of the heavenly planets, as well as the inhabitants of this earth, feel transcendental bliss and consider themselves the eternal servants of the Lord. End quote. Sometimes the devotee becomes filled with the same awe and reverence by seeing a picture of Vishnu, who is dressed like Krishna and who has a similar complexion. The only difference is that Vishnu has four hands, which he holds the conch, and conch, the disc, the club, and the lotus flower. Lord Vishnu is always decorated with many valuable jewels, such as the Chandrakanta stone and the Suryakanta stone. Yeah, so he's saying is that you have that, by seeing in that form, then that same devotee has that, they'll have that kind of flavor like the Dwarka. So he's even looking at it from this side rather than that side. You know, it's being said, you know, there's this group will look like that, that group will look like this. The same with this group when they say Vishnu, then they may have that flavor. Does that make sense? Because that's the Shiva Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur. Does that make sense? Yeah. And then that flavor then is actually the man, then where that pastime, where those pastimes come from. You know, so seeing that form of Krishna, then that form, then those devotees take on those matching associates. And so then you get the Dwarka pastimes. It's not that you have Vrindavan and you have Dwarka and there's no connection. It's that the Vrajavasis, when Krishna's in that mood, they take on the forms of the Dwarkavasis. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Is that the reason why Rupa Goswami wrote two separate dramas? Because originally he wanted to write one drama, but then Mahaprabhu
no.
told him?
Satyabhama.
Oh, yeah, right.
She came and said.
And then...
Because it brings out that flavor and all that there nicely. But the point is it's the same people.
Yeah, same. That's
it's
what
just
I'm
that
saying.
The flavor is slightly different. So you want to separate the rasas. You want to separate the flavors that are there.
Hmm.
The tastes. Like that. So then he's pointing out how someone who is situated in Braj then can appreciate the other one and it takes on that flavor. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So that's why you see the Vrajavasis don't have any problem appreciating any rasa that Krishna is involved in, because it ultimately comes back to their Krishna who's doing this.
Hmm.
Does that make sense? Otherwise, it's just an aspect to avoid making too much distinction between, like sometimes devotees make too much distinction between Krishna and Vishnu, and Prabhupada said, don't do that. It's the same person. It's just that he's manifesting this aspect of it. You know, otherwise, then it's like, you have your friend who you just hang out in jeans and a t-shirt, and then he puts on the tuxedo, and now he's a different person. Right? So people who don't know him at home see him in that way. They only know him that way. And so he's described in that way and all that. And then you have the others where he's described, at home and hanging out with family and friends. And that's that group. But the whole point is that we tend to see as two different things when it's just the same person. So you want to avoid that, because otherwise then how do you see Krishna everywhere? Because then only certain things can remind you of Krishna. That's what the sahajis do. Oh, we don't want to hear these pastimes. We only want to hear the dasa, the panchadhyaya. You're like this because that cultivates, nothing else does, we're so elevated, like that. But it actually is the other way around. It means you have to be quite neophyte that only in that you can catch that. The other things then would also. Anything would remind you of Krishna. Radharani sees the tamal tree. Right? So that makes sense?
Yeah.
Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur. The beauty is expressed through an astonishing metaphor. If a dark cloud is endowed with lightning and decorated with the sun and moon, it is similar to Krishna with dark complexion and yellow cloth holding the chakra, sun, and conch, moon. Right, so they're just bringing out a very nice flavor. So this is here, a Brajvasi is then showing it, in a, the other has its formality, but they're showing it in that, even the sweetness aspect and looking at Vishnu. So, yeah, no?
Yeah.
Okay. 3-2-10. The forearm form from Lalita Madhava. Krishna, victorious over Kamsa, wearing around his neck the Kustuba jewel, flashing light, the Kustuba jewel flashing light. Holding at once the club, conch, club, chakra, lotus, and conch in his four hands, whose body is ornamented with extraordinary jewels, and who is accompanied by Garuda, makes me forget the splendor of Vaikuntha. Srila Prabhupada. In the Lalita Madhava by Rupa Goswami, there is the following statement by Daruka, one of the servants of Krishna. Certainly Lord Vishnu is very beautiful with his necklace of Kustuba jewels, his four hands holding a conch shell, disc, club, and lotus flower, and his dazzling, beautiful jewelry. He is also very beautiful in his eternal position, riding upon the shoulder of Garuda. But now the same Lord is present as the enemy of Kamsa, and by his personal feature, I am completely forgetting the opulence of Vaikuntha. And so he's appreciating that. He's appreciating, in other words, the person becomes the most important. So the greatness and the opulence and the background that is there in Vaikuntha, because we see it in Vaikuntha, it's all about the background. So that's why you see the Shanta and the Dasya, that's their field. Because technically they're part of the field, so they function in that field, so for them it's complete in itself. For those who aren't looking for interacting with the Lord in connection with the three higher rasas. When they maintain that aspect of opulence, but accepting the three higher rasas, then you get Dwarka, you know, or you get Goloka, I could say, and all those features that are there. Then, yeah, some sense. So then, but when it's the same without opulence, it's just sweetness, that's Braj. Does that make sense? So in other words, you have Braj, then if you add opulence to that, you'll get Dwarka. Then when you remove the three higher relationships, because the opulence becomes most prominent, you know, then you get Vaikuntha. So he's not interested in that, because Krishna, that personal position, is just so much nicer than all the greatness and grandeur of Vaikuntha. So they're just seeing that different, you can see it's where the rasas are situated. So they're the ones producing the for that rasa to be tasted, you have that environment. So you could say it's the Shanta and Dasya rasas, they are environment. Right? And that then supports. Yes?
Just like a person having his family, and then the family always, they personally like to see him in a homely environment, informal.
Yes.
But when he's out in a formal environment, they can go there, but it's not their environment. It's,
yeah, they can appreciate it like that. And so then everybody's more quiet and formal and everything like that.
So that's just more like Dasya, all the servants and everybody is there.
Yeah, then that's their scene. So, you know, it's just like, let us say that the family goes visits the high court judge, you know, at the courthouse. So, who's he going to be interacting with? Is all the barristers and other lawyers, I mean, other, you know, judges and everything like that. And they'll just kind of be in the background. You know, and then when he's finished with that, then they'll go to his office, then they can interact like they naturally do.
Yes.
So,
takes his wig off.
Yeah. Yes. Okay, what are we doing? Yes, okay, so we'll stop here.
Om Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Sorry, Srila Prabhupada, keep it. Yeah. Samaveta Bhaktivinoda Ki, Jainatai Gaurabhinoda.